Hello and welcome back to Sportsport Podcast, episode 18. I'm Aiden.
And I'm Alejandro. We have today, no Billy today.
Yeah, we don't have Billy. So it's going to be a little different from what we're used to, but you know, we're going to keep going.
And we have just as much news.
Yeah, we have a lot of big stories and a lot of well-performing and underperforming players in the NFL. And a lot of underperforming and teams in soccer. So let's hop right into the NFL as it is about to be week 3. Actually, it just started last night with Titans versus Jaguars. One of the most uneventful games ever. It's pretty boring.
Yep.
Because Marcus Mariota is not playing well. And
Gardner Minshew
comes out of nowhere out of Washington State, and it was like, yup, I'm here, and I'm going to win. So, yeah. And, like, Titans have said that they're going to keep starting Mariota, which makes sense. I mean, they don't really have a backup to put in over him, but they really got to start hoping he starts performing soon. Yeah, at
least he has a comfortable environment.
Yeah,
where he knows he doesn't have to worry about looking over his shoulder.
But he needs to start performing soon if his team wants to perform well at all.
Ever.
Yeah, the B-Tech Patriots are not looking too good with Deion Lewis. Malcolm Butler's not playing well. Logan Ryan's not – I mean, he's playing all right, actually. He's not doing the best. But out of all the ex-Patriots on that team, Logan Ryan's the highest performing right now. But yeah, let's start with the biggest news from today, actually just a few hours ago. Antonio Brown has been cut from the New England Patriots. The Patriots came out with a statement saying, "We feel that it is best to move in different directions at this time." And amid all these allegations from now multiple people accusing him of
misconduct.
Like sexual misconduct and all that fun stuff. It's just really not something you want to see from a player of his caliber, especially when he goes into free agency, really not knowing if he's going to get picked back up by any other team because of his his inability to be cooperative in a locker room and his roaming allegations that the NFL seems to be taking very seriously because that's what you should be doing, as always. And obviously, Bill Belichick wants nothing to do with all that social media attention, and he's just not going to deal with that. Even though Antonio Brown did prove that he is a very worthy receiver and played very well in his Patriots debut, that was all we ever see from him as he just got cut. So, there's that. Belichick was at a press conference the other day. He walked out because he said, "I will answer football questions," or something along the lines of that. And he addressed something very briefly in very Bill Belichick style about Antonio Brown. And they weren't giving him any questions related to football, and everything was just based around Antonio Brown. So he just walked out of the interview and wasn't in the mood for that. So that's a very
Bill Belichick-like.
Yeah, it's a very Bill Belichick move. Glad to see that he was very strict with his discipline, not letting anything go, even if you are such a high caliber player as he is. Antonio Brown sent out a tweet thanking the Patriots organization for giving him the opportunity, which is something a lot more professional than what we're used to seeing on his Twitter page, which is nice to see for a change. And in the one interview he did have as a Patriot, he answered very Patriot style, very unemotional, unexpressive, and very short answers with very little information that could go anywhere and be taken anywhere. So he was starting to fit into the role of being a Patriot, but now that the NFL is really starting to dive into these allegations, Bill Belichick didn't want to take the risk of just having a player like that in his locker room anymore, as well with the fact that it was a big paycheck that was being taken out for other players that he could be looking after in trades or anything like that to try and repair that offensive line. So Cam Newton has been ruled out for week three of for the Panthers in his game. And just, you know, Cam Newton really, everyone hypes up about how he's going to, this is comeback season, he's going to do well, and then injuries and other things come back to haunt him, and he really just doesn't perform to the level that he would be expected to. Really just not a good year for quarterbacks in general. There's no rule in between. It's either the quarterbacks are doing really well in case of the young ones, or the quarterbacks are doing really poorly in case of the old ones. And then there's Tom Brady, who's untouchable and doing Tom Brady things. The Jaguars and Jalen Ramsey. So Jalen Ramsey got into a heated debate with the head coach or the owner. I think it was the owner. Apologize if I have that wrong, but he got into a heated debate on the sideline, and I think the next day requested a trade from the Jaguars. Teams that want him being like the Browns, the Chiefs, and the Eagles, all teams that are really in win-now mode. The Browns really have been making win-now moves, but they're not really looking like a team that's a win-now type of situation. The Eagles, very aggressive with their trades and going out trying to win now with everything. So very Eagles-like from that. And then the Chiefs are obviously in win-now mode with Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce and Tyreek Hill out, and they really need to improve their defensive core. So, reports came out earlier today that the Jaguars would be willing to give Jalen Ramsey basically all of the money they have in an extension to keep him with them, as he is probably the best player on their team that actually keeps performing somewhat consistently, as Leonard Fournette really isn't the player he was a few years back. Really just hasn't been able to get in the end zone that much. He's been having a couple of good plays, as he did have a 69-yard rush late in the fourth quarter of the game last night, but he had a total of negative yardage leading up to that, so he really just wasn't doing very well overall in that game or really this season. Kind of disappointing from a player that caliber. You really want to see him be able to perform, and you really start to think the issue of the Jaguars not having a quarterback, does that take a toll on Leonard Fournette's production rate, as he has to take so many touches and he just gets exhausted as time goes by? Ramsey was also in the game the other night. He got pretty smoked by excuse me if I mispronounce this, but Tajay Sharp on a fly route. But, yeah, so that's not good for his draft stock for the Jaguars. But apparently from an unidentified team, they've been offered a first and a fifth-round pick, and then another team offered a first-round pick and a player. So those are pretty good packages for Jalen Ramsey. Not sure what the Jaguars' asking price really is right now. They seem pretty keen on taking him and keeping him on the team, but if they do have to get rid of him, you would assume they want to get the best that they can. So maybe like that first round pick and a somewhat not superstar, obviously, but like a starting caliber player, that might be the best deal for them. Really, maybe something looking to help out their offense, as that really does not look very good at all.
Yeah.
The Miami Dolphins. Let's talk about the Dolphins for a second. They are they're a team. They're not they're acting like a team, but they're a team, I guess. I think they lost what, like 62-10 or like 59-10 to the Ravens. And then the following week they lost 43-0 to the Patriots. You see, the Patriots is something you expect, almost not necessarily a shutout, but definitely something of extreme measures like that, as the Patriots are playing extremely well this season as they beat the Steelers 33-6 or something like that.
It was the three. I know they scored three.
Okay. 33-3 then,
I think.
And the Ravens, which have had a very high performing Lamar Jackson, really just tore apart the Dolphins defense, and the Dolphins are really just in panic mode. And so is Brian Flores, as he might not even keep his job past week six, trading Minka Fitzpatrick to the Steelers. And just Dolphins really are the embarrassment of the NFL right now. Really just NFL starting to swing towards a league where there's a bunch of, or not a bunch of, but a handful of very talented teams, one or two teams in the middle, and then a whole bunch of really bad teams tanking. That are all tanking and almost like in the same conference, which is starting to look like the AFC, as you have the Jets, you have the Dolphins, you have the Browns, which are in win now mode, but they're really not performing well at all. Really just getting torn apart week one, and not necessarily torn apart week two, because they did win, but really just not the type of win you'd expect against a team like the Jets and their third string quarterback. But, you know, really just very lopsided league this year. You have the Patriots, you have the Chiefs, and then a couple other average teams, and then a couple other really bad ones. The Rams are one of the higher teams as well, just not as blow away of an offense as they were last year, but still a good team. Even though Aaron Donald is injured, they do expect him to keep playing. And yeah, Ben Roethlisberger is out for the season with a elbow surgery that is needed. So you start to wonder, is that the end of his career? Which would be really unfortunate for a great player like Big Ben. But, you know, it's just really not the year of the quarterback, other than Tom Brady, Patrick Mahomes, and Gardner Minshew. So,
yeah.
And
they
then
have a fun time over there.
You also have Drew Brees, another one of the legendary quarterbacks back from like 2001 to 2004, who tore a ligament in his thumb, who was seen not even being able to grip a football on the sideline of the game he got injured in, really frustrated, in a lot of visible pain. And he's also out for a very long amount of time. I'm not
six
sure if it's the
weeks.
Whole season.
No, it's 6 to 8 weeks.
6 to 8 weeks. So a considerable amount of time really could be detrimental to the Saints and their offense. Really could harm their record. But you really hate to see that happen to someone like Drew Brees. Really nice guy, really good player. Just not something you want to see to happen like a person like him.
It's going to hurt their season, but I don't think it's going to completely derail.
I think they will still make the playoffs, but it might hurt their seeding or any and it might hurt their chances of getting further in the playoffs, as they might have a harder path. Gardner Minshew, as we were talking about earlier, he transferred four times in college. He has 692 yards, 5 touchdowns, and 1 interception through 3 games this season. Really just showing out the Washington State quarterback. Really just not something you'd expect from such a no-name, but it's a really inspiring story as such an underdog comes in to a almost broken system in the Jaguars and turns it into at least one win or two wins. I can't remember if they won last week.
One win.
Yeah, one win, but still performing pretty well.
Yeah.
But, yeah. And Lamar Jackson, big story
so far
throughout the first 2 weeks. A lot of debates and a lot of criticism on him being just a running back going into the season. And you start to question through his stats, is he turning into a really good quarterback or is he just playing really bad defenses? He put up outstanding numbers in the game against the Dolphins. And then last week he put up some good numbers against
the Cardinals.
Both very questionable teams, but he had...
I think it's a mix of both. As you can tell that while the teams are bad, he's clearly throwing the ball a lot better and accurately.
Yeah. So this season, he has 596 yards, a QB rating of 145.2, which is almost perfect. And I think the perfect one's 158.3 or something like that. 7 touchdowns and just
and only
a bunch of rushing yards as well.
And only 2 games.
So, yeah, really just – you like to see it from a young player. You like to see all the new quarterbacks coming in to fill in for all the old quarterbacks that were really just – injured now, and he's also thrown no interceptions this season. He's already thrown more touchdowns than he did all of last season. It's just he's also throwing 72% accuracy and just something you really like to see from a young player. You really hope he develops into something good, and excited to see how he develops. You know, the question of, is it just because he's playing against weaker teams? Yeah, he is playing weaker teams. So, yes, that is a bit of it, why his stats are looking so good early in the season. But at the same time,
you can tell there's improvement.
You can see that he's improved. His throws have been really good. And you can't take away from the fact that he's still a really good player playing at a really high level. Calvin Johnson... He came out kind of similar to Gronk, not really a much higher level, though, because Gronk never smoked any sort of drugs or anything like that. But that we know of, or that he came out saying, at least. And Calvin Johnson came out saying he probably had 9 concussions, 1 for every season he played. And he just got so used to the feeling of seeing stars and being dizzy that he was able to just play through it every season. And apparently had to smoke marijuana after every game just so that he could help with the pain from the concussions or just getting batted around all the time. As the NFL is very rough, especially as such a big wide receiver as him. You take a lot of big hits. The Giants finally decide to bench Eli Manning after like 2 or 3 seasons of people telling the Giants franchise to give someone else a shot, as Eli is clearly not working. And they will start Daniel Basketball School Jones against Tampa Bay, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and Jameis Winston. Daniel Jones played very well in preseason, really not expected. Everyone criticized the pick, but in preseason he really showed out that he was a top-tier quarterback, could be something very good. Of course, it's just preseason. You're not playing against top-tier, and there's a lot less pressure. But at the same time, he did perform to the standards that someone could perform to in any other like scenario. On to soccer.
Yeah, so mainly it had a lot of Champions League, as that was restarted with some of the first, as we started some games. This week, So, in the Arsenal game, the Arsenal youngsters showed out as they had a good game for Arsenal. And some more good news is on the way as they have Bellerin and Tierney back in training.
And they played in the U23 game against Watford that they tied just recently. But
yeah. In an Arsenal game, the youngsters, Joe Willock, scored in the 30th minute, and then Bukayo Saka scored at another one in the 85th minute. Two young players in Arsenal system before the veteran goal scorer, Aubameyang, added another one in the 87th to seal the deal against a pretty good team, Eintracht Frankfurt.
Yeah, it was a good start to the UEL for Arsenal, as they did make it to the final last year, but did not get the result they wanted in losing to Chelsea.
Yeah.
But they did show promise in this game, especially with their young talent. You really love to see some young players come through the academy like that.
Yeah.
Still lots of questions with the defense of Arsenal, though, as they have really just not been performing, especially in the Premier League. Just disgusting. You like to think that the return of Bellerin and the start of Tierney might have something, might bring something to the team, but Bellerin really isn't the type of fullback. Both of them aren't
historically good defenders.
They really aren't the type of fullbacks that will help solve a crippled defense. They're really something that would help get more wing attacks and help with crossing, as they're more both attacking style backs. So that is definitely an issue for Arsenal right now. They're really just not doing good things at all. And Unai Emery came out saying that he's expecting a lot more from the new signing Pepe as he gets used to the system, and really hoping to see more goals and assists and just overall better play from him, as you would like to see him fit into the system, as him, Lacazette, and Aubameyang would make a very great trio if it actually pays off.
Yeah. So, Real Madrid have had a lot of problems, including losing 3-0 to a PSG team without Edison Cavani or Mbappe or Neymar, in fact. And none of their front line, although they have new signing Mauro Icardi, he didn't even score, as PSG beat them 3-0 with Real Madrid not even registering a shot on goal on former keeper Keylor Navas.
Keylor Navas, who just recently left Real Madrid in a swap with him and Areola, has played two games and has had two clean sheets. Really something you love to see from him. Really something you question from Real Madrid, as
something really Courtois has not done in a long time.
Courtois hasn't had a clean sheet since, I believe, either April or February.
Yeah, April, February.
Which is way too long for a keeper you paid way too much money for. And I really don't understand why they continue to believe in Courtois. And at this point, you got rid of Navas, who should have been starting, and you got Areola.
Might as well.
You might as well try Areola out, because Courtois clearly is not working for you. Neither is your defense. So you need to start working some other players in and start trying to fix something, because the way Zidane is trying to rebuild this team from the Champions League is just not going how it should be. And it's just really ugly.
Yeah, reportedly the things have gone so bad with Zidane that they're considering another manager and former Real Madrid player Xabi Alonso, in Spain legend Xabi Alonso. Although I don't think that Real Madrid should be switching out managers at this rate, as that never leads to anything good and just leads to a lot of instability and turmoil at clubs.
I think they should give him at least halfway through the La Liga season, see if he can start turning something around, start creating more opportunities to succeed. But as of right now, he is on track to be sacked.
Yep. Juventus defensive midfielder Blaise Matuidi said he never wanted an exit from the Italian club, despite the transfer rumors swirling around him during the summer. He's a really good player that Juventus got on a good deal from PSG. And, I mean, yeah, there were a lot of rumors, but I can see why he wants to stay on a Juventus team with Ronaldo and Buffon, and who's trying to win the Champions League. Yeah. Juve and Atleti, speaking of Juve, tied in the 2-2 game, which Juve
should have
once held the 2-0 lead, but lost it.
Yeah, they were up 2-0, and they gave away the equalizer in
really late on.
Really late on. I think it was the 90th minute.
Yeah.
Off of a corner kick, I believe.
So do I.
Or just a cross. I know it was a header. Just really sloppy defending from Juventus, and just not something you want to see.
Yeah.
But, you know, it happens. Two very good teams, Ronaldo versus Joao Felix, the proven talent versus the
youngster,
versus the youngster, both from Portugal, which was very entertaining to watch. Joao Felix, a very, very talented player. So you like to see him and Ronaldo go up against each other as they do get along because they play on the same national team.
Yeah. Another news, Napoli beat Liverpool 2-0. Liverpool weren't really in the game. There was a controversial penalty, which Liverpool fans saw as controversial.
And but Van Dijk had a very uncharacteristic error, which was very questionable, as even though Van Dijk did make the error and the Napoli player did take it off of him, basically inside of their own box, you really just saw a lot of Liverpool players just stand around, not try and help out. Who's playing keeper? I can't remember.
What, for Liverpool? Adrian. Yeah,
Adrian.
He made a really good save in the game, but ultimately lost. Yeah, both of them were scored late with a 82nd-minute penalty.
The goal that Van Dijk gave up was really just they kind of just threw Adrian out there and didn't give him any help.
Yeah, left him to dry,
They left him out there to dry. The guy really just walked into the box and slotted it.
Yeah, it's an easy goal for a veteran. Like, you know, he's an older veteran, but he's a still good finisher, Llorente. So that's an easy goal for him, and you can't be giving that up. Liverpool know that they won the Champions League last season, so they'll probably bounce back from that. Dortmund tied in the game against Barcelona 0-0, although Dortmund did have a penalty, which their captain, Marco Reus, missed against compatriot Marc-André Ter Stegen in the goal.
And Ansu Fati was cleared to play for Spain after, I believe,
his Spanish passport, so now he's eligible.
Yeah, and I think the country that he would have played for was Guinea.
I think it was, some African nation, no offense.
I believe it was Guinea. Ansu Fati is...
It was Guinea-Bissau.
Yeah.
Ghanaian. Yeah, he's Ghanaian.
Yeah.
All right.
So Ansu Fati has really proven himself, the young 16-year-old.
He's still 16.
Yeah, he's still 16. Playing really well. He's been scoring goals. I'm not sure he's been getting assists, but he's just been playing very well, coming on as a sub most of the time.
Yeah, and he came on as a sub in his first game, and he scored in his first start against Osasuna.
He's really proving himself.
And then he became their youngest Champions League debutant.
Starting to prove himself as the possible next
superstar.
Not
superstar,
next Messi, but the replacement for Messi in that system, which they could really use, as you never know how many years you have left of that talent.
Yeah. He's been really excited to play. He's caused trouble on the wings and just been showing a lot of his potential, his flair, his speed. And it's just going to be exciting how his career pans out. So to finish this segment up, a 19-year-old Norwegian, Erling Haaland, scored a hat-trick for RB Salzburg in a game which grabbed a lot of big teams' attention.
Yeah, I think Arsenal was one of the clubs that was looking into him. He had a really, really good game. A lot of scouts really intrigued by this player.
Yeah.
And you would love to see where he goes at the next transfer window.
Yeah.
That is all for this segment. We will see you in a bit.
We're back with the second half of the video. When we start off with the NBA.
The NBA just passed a change to the tampering rules and better defined some rules that will help clear up the traveling violations. So the tampering really isn't a change in rule, just proposed fines of up to $6 million for entering into unauthorized agreements and up to $10 million for actual tampering are the new fines that will be issued for that. So they're definitely a lot more the punishment is a lot heavier for teams that do involve themselves in tampering. Cough, cough, Lakers.
And Clippers, all LA teams.
Yeah, basically. So a lot of NBA execs think that they're rushing the process of adding new rules, but really all they've done for the traveling rule is they've added new context in what it really is. So the traveling violations, really what they did is they cleared up and helped define the gather, which is when the player picks up the ball off of a pass or off of a dribble and just like how many steps they're allowed to take after that, even though they probably will still let James Harden do whatever he wants. So there is that, and yeah.
And the other change was a minor starting lineup one, which just made teams make the starting lineups official 30 minutes prior to the game instead of 10, bearing injury.
So we have a neat little discussion topic. Pascal Siakam, also known as Spicy P, to many people. According to a lot of people and a lot of NBA executives or just NBA professionals, believe that he has a legitimate shot at getting a max extension with the Raptors. Now, in the postseason, he was an absolute beast. He was not necessarily great in the regular season as he was in the postseason, but he definitely
still put up 17.
He did break out. He put up 17 points per game and 7 rebounds, as well as I think 4 assists, playing very well defensively and just a really good teammate overall. And he really started to show out in the postseason.
Yeah, in the finals, he put up 32 points in the first game, 12 points, 18, 19, 12, and 26 in the ending finish off game.
Yeah.
Title season game. Yeah. And he shot a good percentage from,
He shot very efficiently from the field as well, shooting around 50% overall. He did struggle in the one, in the first game they lost to Golden State in game 2, shooting only 28%, but he shot 83% in game 1, dropping 32. So it really just, and in the end, they pulled off the win to win the championship, and then Kawhi left, and sadness for Toronto.
Yes, but that's another thing going for him. He's probably going to be one of the best players.
Yeah, he's definitely going to,
along with Kyle Lowry. So
a lot of people would see it as last season as breakout season. His true season to really dominate and be a star player on a team will be most likely this season as Kawhi left. And it's just him and Kyle Lowry really to work with now.
Well, they still have Serge Ibaka and Marc Gasol.
Yeah, they still have Serge Ibaka and Marc Gasol, but they don't really have a shooting guard, as they did lose Danny Green to the Lakers as well.
Norman Powell's decent.
Norman Powell is a good player. Not really the biggest offensive contributor, but he is good, a talented defender, and can somewhat shoot the three ball.
Yeah. Yeah, if he's going to get a max, then he'd have to prove it this season. This will be very telling in what kind of contract he gets.
Yeah. He's also a very efficient, or not very efficient, but a somewhat efficient shooter from the free throw line, which is always something you like to see. Not really having the most free throw attempts per game, but in the finals, he did go 7 for 8 in game 4. Game 4. My bad. Shot 87% from free throw line, 7 for 8. So he is definitely has the ability to get to the line, has the ability to knock down the free throws, has the ability to convert his shots, and just overall has the talent and potential to be a dominating player in the league in the coming years.
He's a chance to be a good player. He was really good at breakaways. It's just about improving
consistency.
Just like polishing up his offensive game, his dribbling. He wasn't able to do that too often. He had to be set up a lot of the time.
Yeah. Just a lot of polishing up on his game in certain areas and maybe just improving his three-point percentage a little bit. But it definitely has improved over the years. His first season as a rookie in Toronto, he shot 14% from three. Second season, 22%. And last season, 37%. So you see the improvements. Obviously, a lot less threes taken in the first two seasons.
Yeah, the first season
he definitely did not play.
He attempted 0.1 threes per game.
So he probably shot
He only attempted three.
Yeah, he probably only attempted like seven and made one. So, you know, it is what it is. It's nice to see improvements in almost every category. And obviously minutes is getting moved up as well.
Yeah.
So he does have a real case at getting the max contract. I think he deserves it. Almost. I wouldn't say a max contract. I'd say something close to it. I think he definitely deserves a very highly paid extension, though, as he did contribute very seriously to that championship.
Yeah, I think he deserves a decent extension, but
I wouldn't say
right now. I wouldn't say a max, but
it depends on how he plays this season. Yeah. Like if he's dropping 20 points per game, like five
efficiently,
assists,
yeah, he's been
or like
kind of defense.
Keeps up 7 or 8 rebounds and like maybe 4 or 5 assists.
He has the energy and he's playing that defense, so like,
and he keeps up his defensive effort. He'll probably get at a fairly
like
90%
of a max.
Yeah, he'll get a very large extension. Yeah.
And so that'll be interesting to see how it plays out during the season.
Yeah. Another thing that we want to talk about is who we think will be the most
impactful Celtics rookie.
Excuse me. Sorry.
Speaking on that thing, Celtics 14th pick, highest pick, Romeo Langford has been cleared to play, coming back from that thumb injury he suffered and played through in Indiana. He got surgery on it after the season ended at Indiana and has finally recovered. He didn't participate in any summer league games, so this will be his first time really playing preseason. It will be, and then he'll join then and then continue to the regular season.
Yeah, really interesting. I'm really interested to see how Romeo Langford does perform with this Celtics team. Very talented player. Still unproven as he did not play in the summer league, so he's maybe lacking a little bit of experience against such talented or more well-rounded teams in that, which is always a really good thing to see from players. You really want to look at how they play in the summer league. But obviously, you used a lottery pick on him, so he's definitely a top-tier player, definitely should pan out to be very good. Maybe turn into a very consistent second lineup type of guy for Brad Stevens. You also have Taco Fall, obviously 7'6", so there's going to be some impact there, and maybe the 2 or 3 minutes he'll get a game, but he's still 7'6". That's some really untouched talent that you want to try and develop, and if you can develop that well and improve his finishing ability and just basketball IQ in general, then
basketball ability in general.
Yeah, just basketball he needs to improve in, but still he's 7'6". It's,
you can't teach that, as they say.
You can't teach that amazing amount of height and weight. So definitely,
I mean, he's really skinny right now, so
yeah, he's still like 260.
Pack the pound, okay.
Yeah, he's skinny, but he's still 260 pounds. He can throw that weight around and body just about anyone.
Get bigger, Taco.
Big man.
Anyway, also, summer league standout, Carson Edwards, could be really impactful this season, coming off the bench especially.
Yeah, really showed out in summer league, was the most impactful player on that team, and really showed his ability. I believe he was a second-round pick.
Yeah, and third pick.
Yeah, so definitely nice to see from a lower pick, but definitely talented player.
He did what he did at Purdue. He
very good at scoring the ball.
He's a bucket getter.
Yeah.
The only reason he fell that much was because he was older player, like he had spent more time in years in college.
Yeah.
And because he's 6 feet tall, a 6 foot tall shooting guard, but he can definitely score the ball. That's never been questioned.
Then you also have Tremont Waters.
51st pick.
51st pick. Not necessarily someone who's going to really play that much, but he's still
an intriguing prospect,
good player. He's intriguing to see how he might pan out, and I'm interested to see if he ends up fitting into the system and if he ends up staying on the team. And then you have Grant Williams coming out of Tennessee. Really good coach there. Really good system along with Admiral Schofield. And he just really talented player, really.
Yeah, I think his biggest impact, though, for Grant Williams will be off the court and, like, being still on the court, but, like,
He's a great influence in the locker room. He's a great person all around. Yeah. And he's almost like a Marcus Smart-esque type player. He's not going to get into trouble off the court, really. He's not going to be one of the most loud players.
He's a team player.
He's a team player. He's a hustle player. And he's a gritty player. He'll go after every loose ball. He'll dive on the floor for just about everything. And he's all about
helping the team win.
He's all about the team. Very humble guy. And definitely something that Brad Stevens likes.
Yeah.
And then you're not a rookie, but very young player, Robert Williams. You look to see how his impact comes into play this year if he gets any minutes. Yeah,
they are too many centers.
Really weak on the front court, so maybe see more minutes from him and Daniel Tice.
I could see him gaining some minutes because Enes Kanter is the best defensively, and if they want some more energy and stuff, they could just bring in Robert Williams.
And Daniel Tice also could be impactful and helpful coming off the bench as well, hoping he restores himself to the 2017-18 season.
Yep.
So, overall, I think the most...
It's a solid class.
I think the most impactful rookie will either be Grant Williams or Romeo Langford, just because Grant Williams is such a player. I think he, not necessarily like the way he plays, as he is like a small forward, power forward type guy, but he's definitely shows a lot of like similarities to Marcus Smart in his mental game, his want to just be scrappy, play really hard defense, be a great defender, and really not care about putting points on the board as long as he's getting assists and helping his team win. He's all about fitting into the system, getting that offense going. And then you have Romeo Langford, obviously, the really pure talent, good ball handler, great scorer, and just you love to see and really interesting to see how they fit into Brad Stevens' system.
Yeah, I think the most impactful rookie would be either Rome or Carson. I like Romeo Langford, but I don't think he will necessarily be the most impactful because they have a lot of depth at that wing position, which is why I questioned the pick. But because they have Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, and others. But if he gets a minute, we'll have to. I hope that he does well. He's obviously a scorer, and hopefully he goes back to like these high school shooting percentages, which are like a league average, 35% before his college season, which he shot pretty poorly from three to with like 27%. And then Carson Edwards probably a big scoring boost off the bench, and he'll just provide some nice bench depth, and I think his scoring will really help the team.
Yeah, and you think if the Celtics can keep away from injuries now that they have a healthy locker room with a bunch of really good guys that are really all about helping the team, helping the community, and just going out and being good people in general. Will this help them become a
better team?
Will they get farther in the playoffs? Will they be a championship contender? Championship contenders really a reach right now, but you never know, seeing because A lot of it depends on Gordon Hayward if he can return to before his injury. Jason Tatum, if he has the breakout year we expect to have last year.
Or Jaylen Brown.
Or Jaylen Brown coming out and turning into something offensively a lot more consistent than what we
want. Now that we're on the topic, I think Jaylen Brown deserves more touches. Because every time he seems to get touches, he usually does well. But he's just pushed down in the pecking order, like fourth or fifth option, which is just hinges his development and a lot of what he can do on the court.
Wizards guard Isaiah Thomas will be out 6 to 8 weeks with a left thumb injury. Really not something you like to see, especially as a fan of Isaiah Thomas as a person and a player.
He hasn't seemed to have gone a break over the last year. Like
really just can't escape the injuries. He's been working so hard on and off the court to recover. And the amount of work he's put in that hasn't been seen just to try and get back on the court, which he really hasn't been able to do until since he was on the Celtics. Just really something you don't like to see from a player of his caliber. Really sad. Definitely a very talented player who has been hindered by multiple injuries. And you start to think what could have been if he didn't get injured throughout his prime and when he was playing so well. And then Klay Thompson says that he is planning on joining Steph Curry and Damian Lillard on Team USA for the 2020 Tokyo Olympic team as the
Team USA tries to recover
their image and name after being probably the biggest disappointment in Team USA history, as they placed seventh in the FIBA World Cup and really, really just so upsetting, because Team USA basketball is not associated something you expect to finish seventh.
Associated with the greatness.
Yeah, especially you really hope that Klay, Curry, and Dame don't pull out of the Olympic team. And I don't really think they will. The Olympics are taken a lot more seriously than the FIBA World Cup. So I think the Olympic team will definitely be a lot more talented and be a lot more talented there. But you think, what do you do with that lineup? As those are your three best players most likely that are going to be on the team are all guards. So do you play Dame at the one, Curry at the two, and Klay at the three, and then play some really big power forward and centers so that you can get
I think we're too far away still.
It's far away still, but like if you do have that lineup and they do stay healthy to be on that team, you think like you would want to put some bigger guys at the power forward and center to help rebound. Obviously, Klay's a very great defender, so he'll be fine defending anyone. But you think who's going to have to guard Giannis on that team? Because Klay isn't necessarily that big. He definitely could help out and double team with him. But you think who's like a athletic enough and talented enough defender at power forward or small forward or center that you could play and match up with Giannis, which is very difficult to do no matter who you are.
Maybe Anthony Davis, maybe Jaylen Brown.
Yeah, it depends on who really decides to play for Team USA, if they really want to recover Team USA's image after their disgusting
World Cup. Are always taken seriously. They always have a really good team.
Yeah. I just wish they would
take
the World Cup just as seriously, because
they finished seventh.
Seeing them finish seventh, it's just not acceptable from our Team USA standards. And then the FIBA World Cup, Spain won that. Ricky Rubio won the MVP. And it's all from basketball.
Yeah, they were one of the favorites after Team USA got knocked out. It's a nice win for Spain. Ricky Rubio is obviously an NBA player, decent one. So it's nice to see them win. I guess. I don't know. So we're going over to the MLB. season winding down. October baseball is coming up soon. One of the biggest headlines, one of the biggest storylines as we wind down with under 10 games left. Ronald Acuña's chase for 40-40, 40 home runs, 40 steals. He got his 40th home run yesterday and is now three steals away from becoming the youngest and cleanest player to get 40-40, as all the other four players obviously have been tainted with PED use. And the Braves are now one game away from clinching their NL East division for the second straight season. Speaking of top players and MVP candidates, Mike Trout and Christian Yelich are out for the season. Christian Yelich was on the sideline with a fractured kneecap after he hit a foul ball off his knee. I forgot what Mike Trout's out for. Both that'll hinder Mike Trout's Angels were already out of the playoff race, really. But Christian Yelich, that's going to hurt his Brewers' chances of making the playoffs. They were in the wild card race in that NL Central mess, which is basically one of the only divisions that hasn't been sealed. It was a foot surgery that Trout was out with. Although the NL Central has basically been decided, kind of, although the Cardinals are trying to run away with it. But that's the only division not completely shut down, not completely sealed. CeCe Sabathia got a good farewell from the Yankees crowd in his last regular season start. Obviously had a great career, won the 2007 Cy Young, and is now calling it quits on his long career. And obviously got the respect he deserves from his home crowd. One of the Yankees' best pitchers this season, this injury-filled season, is suspended the rest of the season. It's likely to be suspended for the rest of the season under the MLB's domestic violence policy. Without one of the reports, I think it was just slapping his girlfriend or something. And is now it's going to cost his team, as they will be without him for the postseason.
Yeah, really just not something the Yankees need. But
or anybody would need. Yeah,
it's just really just no one needs it because no one really has a very strong pitching team this year. Pitchers are very rare to, except for the Astros. Pitchers are very rare to come around this season. Which is very, you know, it's a thing.
Yeah. He had a breakout season this season with an 18-4 record or something. He had a good season, but now his own stupidity is going to cost him and his team. Another player from the Blue Jays young core, Kevin Biggio, hit for the cycle, making like the second father-son duo to hit a cycle in the MLB after his dad got one 18 years ago. So that's like a big that's a good moment for them.
Yeah, that's enjoy. It's a pretty cool thing. You like to see all the father-son players coming down through generations into the sport, like Guerrero and now Biggio and Mutt.
Bichette.
Just so many other players coming in after their fathers following the tradition and seeming to live up to the expectations and the hype, which is very entertaining. And it's nice to see those names back on the jerseys of MLB teams again.
Yeah.
The Red Sox were eliminated from playoff contention and the Yankees clinched the division.
Yeah, it's been
because the Red Sox are really, really bad.
It's been an underwhelming season for the Red Sox, who have not struggled for offense, but pitching as other teams have, as a lot of other teams have had, shared the same problem, but it hit them really hard. Aces like Chris Sale didn't have the greatest seasons. And
David other pitchers Price like
Rick
Porcello,
didn't have good seasons either, and that's really hurt them.
JD Martinez with an injury late season as well. And now Mookie Betts, you question if he gets traded, if he stays and resigns, or if he just signs somewhere else in free agency, which there's a lot of rumors that he might. And looking at the team,
I see a lot of problems still.
I see a lot of promise that he does return to the team as it is the Red Sox. He's a very famous franchise, and he seems to like Boston. But at the same time,
the team that looks promising around, not the chance of them coming. I don't know about that.
I know, but it's just There's a very strong chance he does not stay on the Red Sox, which is something you really hate to see as a Red Sox fan, but it's a very big blow. You really got to hope you can find a right fielder to replace him, which might be
but
take a little time.
They don't have the worst core because, both Xander Bogaerts and Rafael Devers both got,
Rafael Devers got over
100 RBIs really quickly this season. I think they were like the first two.
Devers and Bogaerts were really the only players who had any type of entertaining season this year.
And
JD Martinez, there's also questions about him staying on the team as well. And if they go into.
Yeah, if they get rid of Mookie, they definitely wouldn't want to have him. He's 32 in his big contract.
And maybe turn into a younger team built around Devers and Bogaerts trying to go for.
That makes more sense.
Go for the future instead of now, which would make a lot of sense from that standpoint. But Alex Cora seems to be pretty set on having a winning team in 2020 next season.
Yeah, well, they still have the pieces to do that as well. They have a lot of flexibility with that roster.
Yeah.
Especially with, they can do both because Bogaerts is 26 and Devers is still only 22.
Yeah.
So they can do both, really. As we're coming down to the season, the AL Central is also not decided. All the Twins have a 4-game lead. And most likely, the teams in the playoffs will be the Yankees, the Twins, the Astros, and the AL with the Athletics and the Indians grabbing the wild cards. And the NL will likely have the Braves, Cardinals, the Dodgers. Probably some NL Central team is going to take. NL Central, the teams in the wild card are either the Brewers, the Cubs, or the Nationals. That one's really tight. So that's going to do it for MLB. We go over to the NHL. We started the preseason. We just had some early goings of that.
And the Bruins won their first game 3-1.
Yeah.
Which is very good to see. Very nice. But just preseason, but
nothing pretty big. Also adding to that, NHL's first pick, Jack Hughes, got 2 in his debut or one of his first games. But the biggest news for the Bruins is that they re-signed Charlie McAvoy, defensive defenseman. Charlie McAvoy and Brandon Carlo, not a defenseman, but on good contracts each.
Yeah, McAvoy, very good deal for the Bruins. $13 million for 3 years, which is pretty cheap for a player of his caliber. Very, very talented player. He's a good defenseman and is pretty good at functioning in an offense as well.
So, Carlo, they got him on a good 2-year contract. Give him another 2 or 3 years to try to win with this core.
Yeah, definitely a further team that you would want to see bringing in a Stanley Cup as they weren't able to do it last year, and hopefully they're able to do it this year, but they did lose a couple key pieces from their depth. They definitely lost a couple depth players, and they lost Chara as well, I believe.
Chara? I think you mean Achari. I think Chara's still on the team.
Oh, well, I thought he retired. I don't know.
You mean, he almost has.
I don't remember if he said this was his last, this is like one of his last seasons, or if he said that he retired. I really don't know.
Yeah, I think he's still here, but obviously he's getting less and less minutes. He's getting older.
Yeah.
Yeah. They still have a nice team, though. I think that's almost going to do it, though.
Yeah, that's all from Sportsport Podcast Episode 18. Thank you so much for listening. We apologize for Billy not being able to make it today.
And for missing last week.
And last week not being able to upload. But thanks for tuning in. Tell us any questions you would like us to answer through Twitter, social media, Instagram. And make sure you check out our YouTube channel as well, which is just Sportsport Podcast. Thank you and have a nice day.